If you would take your Bibles, and we are going to be in Psalms 84. Yes, you heard me correctly. We are going to be in Psalms 84. Some of you may be saying, what do you mean? Well, we were in Psalms 84 on Sunday. And it's interesting how the Lord works, and I love how that the Lord directs in my life. And this message was actually the beginning of the message that we preached on Sunday, and it was this message that kind of steered me towards that message. And so I'm okay when the Lord does that. And I knew that this was a message for our Wednesday night series, and so I'm thankful that the Lord directed us that way. But we'll be in Psalms 84 tonight. If you remember, on Sunday we just went over the first four verses. Tonight we'll read the whole chapter. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 84, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Amen. "Yea," he said, "the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." We've been speaking on Wednesday nights about the how that our Heavenly Father gives hope and in difficult times, and these for many people are no doubt difficult times, and going through times like this can often make us wonder how we're going to make it through. One thing we can always do, be assured of as a child of God, is that we can run to the Lord. We can go to the Lord in any situation, any circumstance, and we need to trust him. We need to allow the circumstances in life, perhaps even difficult ones, we need to allow them to point us to the Lord, to direct us back to him. Because as these circumstances are coming around us, we have the opportunity to respond correctly. And we also, the devil would also, in difficult circumstances, the devil wants to blind us to the goodness of God. The goodness of God is all around us. The goodness of God, the Bible says, for one, leads us to repentance. And that's part of a growing and thriving relationship with God. The goodness of God leads to a growing and thriving relationship. And we get the picture here in verse number 10. The Bible, the writer here, David, he talks about our days. He says, "For a day in the house of the in the courts of for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." He said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." And he reminds us tonight that we should not take any day for granted. In fact, we should think of it this way: every day is a gift from God, and that's the way God has packaged life in our days. Think of what a day means when we think of it as a gift from God. If we truly thought of it that way, pretty much it would change the way we thought about and we approached life when we considered our days, each and every one, to be a gift from God. But then he goes on to say, think about it. Think of our days. Think about a day in the presence of the Lord and how we need to worship the Lord and how God has created us in such a way that we can't live properly. We can't grow properly as we should without communion with him. I know many of you, most people have daily routines. Do you have a daily routine? Most people maybe even unknowingly have a routine that we almost go through without even knowing it. Routines are necessary. Getting up, going to bed, brushing your teeth, eating right, having coffee, whatever it might be, are all parts of a routine. And routines are good for us as long as they don't become mundane. And the Bible in Colossians tells us, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. There has to be balance to our routines, to our days, and how we spend our days. And Psalms 84 gives us a picture of people coming to the tabernacle to worship the Lord. And as they move towards the tabernacle, we get the picture that they're praising God there in verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. The believer in Christ, the believer should long to be with God and long to be with God's people. Our heart ought to yearn to be together. David said that in verse number 2. And reminds me of Psalms 42, where the psalmist wrote, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Matthew 5 and verse 6 reminds us, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do we have that same yearning for our time together with the Lord, for our personal Bible study, for righteousness, to be righteous, to be right with God? It can be very easy for us to take for granted the privilege of worshiping our God, of worshiping Jehovah. Imagine this. We understand that phrase. It can be easy to take for granted the privilege of worshiping God. But we have to understand that that was a privilege that was purchased for us on the cross. The privilege of worshiping God, of fellowshipping with God. And in verse number 10, he tells us, he said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. We have a wonderful reminder here tonight of how we use our days. How do we make each day count for God's glory? I want to give you a few things tonight. The first way is, as I've already mentioned, live each day as though it's a gift from God. Live each day as it's a gift from God. There are 24 hours in a day, 86,000 seconds, and every one of them is a precious gift. And someone once said, time is free, but it's priceless. He said, you can't own it, but you can use it. You can spend it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. We shouldn't take any day for granted. Think of what a day means when we think about it being a gift from God. I found some statistics. Some of them are a little dated, but think about what the things that happen each day. Every day in America, every day in our country, over 10,000 people are born. According to a census in 2018, a report in 2018, every day in our country, 5,900 people die, slip off into eternity. Every day in America, over 6,000 people get married, and another 3,100, almost 3,200 people get divorced. Every day in America, 71 people are killed in traffic accidents caused by drunk drivers. And this goes a little bit back to the days when we actually watched regular TV. The statistics said this, that each day in America, children see 6 commercials depicting someone drinking alcohol. They see 33 acts of violence and 38 references to some immoral act. Every day in America, 4,100 people start smoking and another 1,000 people die from smoking. Every day in America, 3,500 babies are aborted. That's a full day. We must consider every day a gift from God to us. And this psalm is a wonderful picture of our walk with God, of the highs and the lows, the difficulty, the rejoicing, the faithfulness of God to us, and our times of personal worship together. And though the writer of this psalm had to be away, his heart was set on going to the temple. His heart was with the people of God. His love for God and the house of God had made an impact in his life and helped him to make right decisions, so he didn't wander astray. And at the end of our life, we may want to retrieve those days that we might consider wasted, but we can't. We don't get them back. We have to make the most of each day. How do we do that? Well, we shouldn't live a single day. You've heard this before. We shouldn't live a single day without telling our loved ones that we love them. We shouldn't live a day without spending quality time with our family members, those closest to us. Live a single day without telling those around us about Jesus. How can we make the most of each day? Well, we should not live a single day without prayer. We shouldn't live a single day without the Word of God. We shouldn't live one day without giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. We get the imagery here of thinking of this idea that if we only had one day to live, what would we do with that one day? Maybe you'd spend it doing something you always wanted to do but never got the chance to do. Maybe you would choose to spend it with family and friends. Maybe you'd want to spend that day fulfilling a lifelong dream, or perhaps it would be spent as every other day in your life. And David seems to be considering that thought in this verse. And he comes to the conclusion that one day spent serving God in God's house with God's people is better than a thousand days doing anything else. David is saying that if he only had one day in which to live, that he would spend it, that he would desire to spend it serving the Lord. Every day is a gift from the Lord. We ought to live in such a way. Not only is every day a gift from God, our text tells us in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Every day is a gift from the Lord. We ought to live that way. We ought to live this way, that every day we trust God for his strength. Psalms 18:32 says, It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There's just something about being in God's presence. There's just something about knowing that you spent time around the Word of God, that you spent time with Him, whether it's praying, whether it's during your Bible reading, or at church. There's just something about being in God's presence. There's something about being in His house. There's something about being with the fellowship, with the believers in a local New Testament church. There's something about being in God's presence that will strengthen the Christian. The more you come to the house of the Lord, the more you desire to come, the stronger you'll be. The more you stay away, the more you desire to stay away, the weaker you'll become. And there's nothing mystical or magical about that. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Try spending time every day with the Lord and see if that doesn't strengthen your inner man, your spiritual man. Try being faithful to the Lord. Try being faithful to the New Testament, local New Testament church, and see if that doesn't strengthen your walk with God. I'll promise you it does. It works. Look in verse number 6. He says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. I was wondering about that very thing. That's one of the things that kind of encouraged me to continue with this passage tonight. But I found this out. The Valley of Baca is not a literal valley. There's no place on the map where you can locate the Valley of Baca. It simply means the Valley of Weeping, the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Sorrow. It's a name for a difficult, painful place or time in life where everything seems hopeless and you feel helpless. We could say it's a pit of despair. It's a picture of a wilderness place, a dry, desolate place. And the psalm here, the writer here reminds us that even in those places, God provides all we need. God provides strength. His strength, Paul wrote, is made perfect in our weakness. Are you going through a valley like that, a dry, desolate, lonely place? Going through troubling times causes us to wonder how we're going to make it. Our text tells us God is our strength. And we need to let every circumstance in our life point us back to the Lord. Don't let Satan blind you to your relationship. Don't let him hinder you in your walk. Some facts about the valley. We know this, but we're reminded of it here. We're reminded of it here. This isn't me regurgitating or recycling a previous message. Look in verse number 6. It says, who passing through the valley? We must understand that some facts about our valleys is that they're temporary. We're reminded of that here. We found that out in Psalms 23, but here in Psalms 84, the psalmist says it again. They're temporary. They're not any fun. They're not always easy to go through, but they're temporary. It doesn't matter. We mentioned this before. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. All people go through valleys like this. The difference is when you, as a child of God, when you go through these valleys, you don't go through them alone. You don't go through them alone. The people, the child of God, we expect to pass through these valleys, but not to remain there. We can even grow from these valleys. Those that go through these valleys and grow through them are people of prayer who keep in communion with the Lord. And no matter what the circumstance, there's no way around this valley. There's only are we to go through it. And those things in life that can bring us pain and suffering can do one of two things. They can either break us or they can make us better. Someone once said, it's not what happens that matters. It's how you Someone once said, it's not what happens that matters, it's how you handle it. It's how you handle it. They're temporary. I'm reminded from Revelation 21 that our tears are temporary. One day, the Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And tears are temporary. These valleys are temporary. But do you know what isn't temporary? Rejoicing and joy, they aren't temporary. This valley, some facts about this valley is it's temporary. And also, he also reminds us that it can be a blessing. He said, turning this valley, this desolate place, in verse 6, make it a well, he says. You can pass through the valley of weeping. You can pass through the valley of sorrow and come out empty. Most people never see what God is doing for them in the valley. But we need to learn to turn our times of sorrow and distress by the grace of God into times of blessing in which we can grow and spiritually mature. And what the psalmist is telling us is those who trust God turn that valley into a well. A valley is a dark place. A valley is a dreadful place. But on the other hand, a well is a place of refreshing. A well is a helpful place. And we'll pass through the valley. Some will pass through the valley of weeping, and it will change you negatively. We won't learn. We won't grow. We won't allow it to mature us and draw us closer to God. Some will pass through the valley negatively. Some will pass through the valley positively. I think of the life of Moses. He traveled through the valley of sorrow as he fled into the wilderness, but he renewed his relationship with God, and God used him to be a great leader. Abraham traveled through the valley of sorrow as God led him to the mountaintop to sacrifice his only son upon the altar as a symbol of his faith and obedience to God, but God had already prepared and provided a sacrifice. Job traveled through the valley of torment as Satan stripped away everything that God had blessed him with. But Job never gave up on his relationship with the Lord. He never gave up on his relationship with the giver of all good things, and God restored to him more than what he had lost. David went through valleys of trouble because of his sin, but David also remembered. David made it a well, we could say, by confessing and forsaking his sin. Remember, God still called David a man after his own heart, even through all of David's failings. You can pass through the valley of weeping by being faithful to the house of God, by exercising faith in God, by continuing to serve God, by drawing close to the Lord. Every day is a gift. Every day. We got to live every day as though it's a gift from God. We got to trust God every day for strength. And then the third thing this evening is, and this one's a little bit wordy, but sorry for those of you who are taking notes. The third thing tonight is to rely on the fact that God is greater than my daily struggle. I'll say it again, because I like this one. Rely on the fact that God is greater than my daily struggle. We're still going to have struggles every day. We're still going to go through difficult times. It's just the nature of life until Jesus comes back. But we must understand what we're being reminded of here in our text is our God is greater. When we come to a day when we have to deal with some difficulty, we have the promise that God will give us each day what we need. The first thing he reminds us of in verse number 8 is that he's a refuge. He's a place that we can run to. He goes in verse number 8, he goes from pleading with God to hear my prayer. Then the psalmist begins lifting his praise to the Lord. He says in verse 8, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God. But then in verse 9, he says, behold, O God, our shield, our shield. He's a refuge. The psalmist lifted his praise to God. You can call me old-fashioned, whatever you want, but God hears us when we pray. I believe it. God answers our prayers. As we're right with him, as we're walking with him, as we're seeking his face, he desires to hear our prayer and answer our prayer. The closer we get to God, the more aware we become to those times when the Lord has answered our prayers. Our Heavenly Father wants us to pray. He desires that we pray. I don't know that I pray enough. I can't say it about you, but I don't think I pray enough. I was recently talking with my wife, and the subject came up of borrowing trouble from tomorrow. And there's enough to deal with each day. We don't need to borrow tomorrow's trouble. We can ruin today by living tomorrow today. We can be unhappy today thinking about all we have to deal with tomorrow. Bible says we don't know what a day may bring forth, but we can count on the fact that we will face nothing in a day that is greater than our God. We come to understand this by walking by faith, by putting the Lord first, by putting his will first, by keeping our priorities right. Verse 10, I'd rather be in a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked is kind of a an Old Testament version of Matthew 6, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's a reminder of what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." According to this psalm, if you look there at the heading, it's a psalm for the sons of Korah, and the sons of Korah were Levites assigned to guard the threshold. 1 Chronicles 9 says they were keepers of the gates, and it was an honorable office. And remember that name might be familiar to you because their ancestor rebelled against God and Moses and was slain. But Korah's children continued to serve at the sanctuary. The psalmist reminds us here that he didn't aspire to a high office, but was willing to sit at the threshold of the temple just to be close to the Lord. He's our refuge. He is our sustenance. He said he is a sun. He is vital. Just as the sun is vital to our world and the source of light and life to our world. Without the sun, our world would be in bad shape. And he's reminding us that without our Heavenly Father, we wouldn't have either physical or spiritual life. We wouldn't have physical or spiritual life. He is our sustenance. And then I've been waiting to get to this one. In verse number 9, he says, "He is our shield." He's our not just our provision, but he's our protection. He's not just only like the sun who guides us and reveals himself to us. He's also a shield that is raised to protect us on our journey. I'm reminded of God's promise to the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 2. The Lord said, "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." He is our shield. He's our sustenance. He's our refuge. And then we find out tonight that he is a gracious giver. Look there in verse number 11, and we'll see the two things, the twofold promise. He's a giving God. He gives grace and glory. And one man put it this way. He says, "Without trials, we would not appreciate God's grace. Without failure, we would not appreciate God's glory. Without suffering, we would not appreciate God's blessing." He gives grace for the journey, and then he gives glory at the end of the journey. Here we have a promise for every child of God. We're promised his grace while we're here on this earth, and we're promised his glory one day in heaven. Praise the Lord. What a promise of heaven. But even more importantly, just as importantly, is the grace that God gives us here in this life, here on this earth. And I love reading through the New Testament, through the Gospels, and through the early church, and we just see over and over and over again, whether it was with Philip, whether it was with Barnabas, the Word of God talks about the great grace that was upon the people there, the great grace of God that he'd given to them. And our lives, our homes ought to be places where we show grace to one another. We love one another. We care for one another. And we show, and our church ought to be a place that's full of grace in our dealings with one another. What he's promising us here is God is promising us, giving us a promise for today. Praise God. I love his daily promises, promises of grace, but he's also giving us hope for tomorrow. He's reminding us of the glory that awaits in heaven, the glory of being in the presence of Jesus. He's promising us that he promises us to get us home safely, to get us home safely. Romans 5 tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Do we delight, like David's talking about here? Do we delight in the Lord? Do we delight in seeking him? Is he your strength today, tonight? Do you depend on him for his strength? Where do you suppose we can understand all this? Where do you suppose we can come to understand all this? Where do we get a hold of these truths? How do we know how to live these truths? Well, it goes back to the very beginning of our text. It's when we come into the courts of the Lord. It's when we come into the presence of God that we discover that our God is able, that he is our strength, that he is our guide, that he is our sustenance, that he is greater than anything we face in the day. Every day is a gift from our Heavenly Father. Every day he gives us what we need He is our strength. He is our he is our source of hope, and He is greater than anything we'll face during any day that we live. Do you believe that today? I hope we do. It's something that we have to be reminded of every day, that God is greater, that He has for us every day what we need. All this comes from the knowledge and the understanding of how to do this. All this comes, as David said, from meeting with the Lord. That's why it was so important. He understood the importance of meeting with the Lord corporately together. He understood the importance of fellowship and being together around the Word of God. He understood that. He understood the importance of a personal walk with God. He understood the importance of the Word of God. He understood the importance of when God said something, obey it, to do it, to understand it, to take it and make it a part of my life. He understood the importance of being alone with God in times of solitary prayer, whether it was confession, whether it was repentance, or whether it was just being grateful and thankful, whether it was a time of seeking God for answers, seeking God for something, making a petition to God, asking God for something, whatever it was, David understood all these things that he's trying to teach to us, trying to show to us. They all come, we're able to understand and grow in them better as we understand they all come from meeting with the Lord, from being in the Lord's presence, from being together. God's people, sometimes they, just like everyone else in this world, because life is like that, sometimes we pass through places that are difficult, that are difficult. How can those be a blessing? How can we turn those into a blessing? How can we use those to witness and to tell of God's goodness, even in the storms, even in the difficult times? They can still be used for a blessing. They can still be turned into a blessing. Those times of weeping, those valleys of sorrows. Every day is a gift from God. You pop your eyes open tomorrow and God's given you a gift. What a wonderful gift it is. Not just to be alive, but to be able to spend time with your family, to be able to grow together, love, teach, train, fellowship together. Every day is a gift from God. And we have to understand that every day God gives us exactly what we need. You may be looking forward to something in the future and thinking, I can't do it. You're probably right. You and I, we're probably right when we say that. But our God is greater than anything that we'll face on a daily basis. I hope this has been a blessing. I hope you'll trust God. And when things get difficult and things get dark and stormy, or maybe it's just sorrow, maybe it's just a heartbreak, maybe it's just a hurt, that you'd be remembered that God wants those things to draw us, to refocus, and to point us back to a deeper, a closer walk with Him, a closer walk with Him. We learn all these things. We understand all these things as we come together to meet with the Lord, as a church, as a family, but also individually in our own walk with God, in our own time with the Lord. I hope and pray that we'll take time tonight, even before our heads hit the pillow, just to thank God. We have so much to be thankful for His goodness, for the gift of a new day, for His strength that we need every day, and the fact that no matter what we face, God knows what we're going through and is greater than all that we could ever imagine that we'll face. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time tonight. I'm so thankful for our church folks. It does my heart good to see them all on this means of communication, and because their faces just keep popping to my mind. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. I certainly do love them. I'm thankful that You've allowed us to worship together and serve You here in Derby, Kansas with our church family. And we look forward to many, many days doing that together for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.